Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Why Fish Radio, show number 75. Did you ever think we'd get here?
75, it's a historic occasion. And even better, we're sitting outside drinking a beer at the same time. So I think that's an appropriate way to toast show number 75.
Well, I was just going to mention such a thing. Yep, a nice cold one, a nice probably about 72 degree sunny evening. And here we are sitting on the patio recording show number 75. So what's been going on in the world since our last discussion?
What's been going on? Well, I got my boat back from the shop. Turned out it was an electrical part called a switch box and $370 labor, including labor. $370 later, including labor. I'm good to go again. So, you know, it seems like it's just one of those things. The joys of owning a boat, it's like the equivalent of a cashectomy.
Well, my boat hopefully will be back in 2 days, and oh man, I'm excited to get it back out on some water, considering it's only got 20 minutes on it this year.
Well, hopefully things just kind of go uphill from there after you do finally get it back on the water. It's been a bumpy ride for the old rig there so far this year.
Well, I think I'm just, for principle's sake, I'll just stay away from trees for at least the first hour.
I would give it at least that long. Just give them a wide berth. I mean, there's a lot of water out there. You should be able to find some spots where you don't have to deal with trees. Although we both know that, you know, those trees are there. You know, they tend to be a little bit of an attractant. They can be good places to fish. They obviously carry some risks.
That is for sure. So that's coming back. Fishing excursions. Let's see. Hit Devil's Lake Saturday morning with a friend. 2.5 hours, got my limit of 16 to 18 inch walleyes, so pretty happy with that on the old vertical jig, and never even left the good old Creel Bay, so that turned out pretty well. Then from there on, it was just wind, wind, wind.
That was a factor this weekend. On Saturday, fished a certain undisclosed body of water again, and we had a great day in terms of numbers for northern pike, a couple of walleyes to boot. Lots and lots of action. So, you know, I certainly have no complaints about that, and some decent sized fish. You know, Lake of the Woods sounds like things are starting to change a little bit out there. Fish are starting to move offshore some, starting to find some fish out on the rocks. That means going out a little bit farther. Fish tend to be scattered a little bit. Oh, I'm impressed. Someone's got a really loud engine. I can hardly hear myself talk here, but like I say, patterns are changing a little bit, and kind of goes with the season. We've had a pretty normal June this year, so things are moving into summer mode.
Absolutely. Last night, hit the old Red River. Got a buddy of mine. We've been working on this off and on for a couple seasons, getting him that catch-and-release catfish. And it was kind of a funny story happened. We went out to one of the honey holes that it's just gotten to be one of those feast or famine spots where it's no fish or big fish. And one of the circle rods went down, and he's like, "You gonna get that?" And I'm like, "You know what? You better take it, because this is gonna be your shot at a big one." Okay. Well, it was pushing 19. Catch and release achieved.
Not bad. That's a nice fish. You know, it just amazes me, the quality of the fish this Red River's been kicking out already this year. You know, started as soon as the water got fishable after ice out. And I mean, it's never really let up. I mean, there's been some slower periods. Some people out there are struggling a little bit, but you put in your time and fish smart, and you tend to be rewarded with big fish more often than not.
Well, I saw this last weekend, and I was talking with our good friend Kent over at Trophy Cat Adventures, and we both kind of started to notice a bait change as far as shifting from a sucker to a goldeye bite. Which is actually kind of odd in my experience on the American stretch of the river, that they would shift almost totally to a goldeye bite.
Yeah, that is interesting, because last year it never really happened here. You could get by with, you know, cut sucker minnow would get you by just fine all summer long. In fact, it tended to work better than goldeye. I mean, we used goldeye on this stretch of river and really didn't do all that well with it. So, you know, I wonder what's going on. It's hard to explain, I guess.
Well, last night we were running four lines with two sucker and two goldeye the whole night, and we went 7 for 7 goldeye.
Interesting. Kind of makes you wonder if those fish really haven't made a run for the border, because those Canadian fish, as I recall, really I mean, they really had a hankering for goldeye. You know, I've seen times up there where if you don't have goldeye, you're not going to get bit.
Well, and that brings up kind of the subject of the show, which for those of you listening out there in podcast land, Brad hasn't even heard this story. I'm just going to tell it and let him comment on it. And if I'm talking about you guys in particular, I'm sorry, but a lesson needed to be learned here. And I learned a big lesson. Last week, we had the dedication to the boat ramp. You were there. I was there. Everything was great. And Kent took the mayor out for a boat ride, which is kind of the start of the story. Well, he was going to take his son Colby out fishing after the boat ride with the mayor, so I offered to just hang out at the landing and keep an eye on Colby and his two buddies just to make sure they stayed out of trouble. And, you know, I really had to work hard. You know, those three just kind of took care of themselves. But while I was waiting, a couple guys from a state south of here pulled into the ramp and were packing up the boat. So I went over and said hello and asked where they were from, and they told me. And they were getting loaded up, and they pulled this funky-looking fish out of the cooler and set it on the seat. And I was like, what? What's that? Well, it's gizzard shad. And my response was kind of, that's your bait? Well, yeah, it's the best bait around. Those Missouri River cats just eat this stuff up. I said, well, my suggestion is you go to the outdoor store up the road here and buy some sucker minnows, or maybe get some night crawlers and go catch yourself some gold eyes, because I don't think that's going to work. Oh, come on. They're a good oily fish. The Missouri River cats just eat them up. Can't get enough of them. Yes, but this is not a native fish to our river stretch, and I am telling you right now it's probably not going to have any success. They chose to ignore me, and our buddy and former guest, Kerry Kylo, called on Friday morning and asked if I had met these guys, and I said I had. He said, you ever seen a gizzard, Chad? I said, why? He goes, because they've been using it, and they haven't caught a fish, and I've caught eight right in front of them. And I'm using goldeye.
There you go. I mean, it's a classic case, and I don't know what it is. You know, if it's something that's unique to the Red River here, or if it's a, you know, a trend that kind of applies everywhere. But, I mean, these fish all of a sudden will just get keyed in on a certain thing. Like I say, if you don't have it, you're not going to catch a fish. I'd say that's a pretty classic example of that. All they probably would have had to have done is toss out a couple of night crawlers below a bobber, caught some gold eyes, or, you know, spent a couple of bucks on some sucker minnows, and they would have been in good shape and caught some fish. But, you know, instead they decided to use that gizzard shad. And it probably didn't work out too well for him by the sounds of it.
Well, Kerry said on the last day he was out, he was actually starting to guide him around and show him where to fish. And he said they were fishing the spots correctly, but they would not shed away from that shad. And he said he was anchored literally right next to him pulling fish out. And I think the big lesson to be learned of this story, besides having the right bait in the Red River, is You see it on TV shows, you read it in magazines. When you go to a new body of water, go to the bait shop and ask what's going on, or talk to the locals. Well, in this case, the locals told them exactly what to do, and they chose not to take that advice and just kind of, you know, I guess took it with a grain of salt and ignored it. And results tell the story.
I'd say it's a pretty striking example of just, you know, what can happen on that case. And it goes to show the, you know, the need to be flexible and shift gears a little bit. And, you know, these guys obviously weren't willing to do that. I mean, it's too bad they, you know, they make a drive up here to a, you know, a pretty well-reputed catfish fishery and have that kind of success. But, you know, it's like anywhere else. It's not a no-brainer situation. You got to have the right bait. And in this case, it's probably going to be goldeye. And second choice might be goldeye, and the third would probably be sucker. And, you know, the suckers in this case were the guys that decided not to shift gears and go with the flow.
Well, my fear of the whole scenario is they drove a few hundred miles to be here because of our excellent fishing. And they're probably at home now telling all their buddies the Red River sucks because of that one minor error, which is what I'm going to call it, is a one minor error or oversight. And that's a shame, because I believe with the correct bait, there would have been a lot of success.
Absolutely. And, you know, you hate to go out on a limb here, but, you know, at the same time, you know, are these the kind of guys that are keeping, you know, too many fish over 24 inches and, you know, whacking those 20-pounders to drag around and show their buddies? And, you know, granted, that's like I say, going out on a limb a little bit, but if it is the case, it was probably a good thing.
Well, in visiting and knowing which of the states south of here they're from, I don't believe that is an issue. But
oh, they're not from that state then. Okay, we've got it narrowed down.
No, they're from a state north of that one.
Okay, gotcha.
So, guys, come back. We'll help you out. Take it for what it's take us for what we know this time, and I can pretty much guarantee results.
Yeah, and leave the shad at home.
So, oh, but if I come down and see you, get me some shad.
What do they look like, by the way? Do they?
It was I don't know. It looked kind of like a giant shiner minnow, but its eye was back a little further and kind of had a pointier tail. It was partially cut up, so, but I got an idea what it looked like.
Well, I can see where it, you know, in certain bodies of water, especially in those bodies of water that those fish are, that's a great bait choice because, you know, it sounds like it's an oily fish, you know, probably a pretty important part of the whole forage base. But it's not here, and these fish, you know, they're creatures of habit. They get used to dining a certain way. They've got fine palates, these Red River catfish. You can't pull one over on them, and they're not going to bite on that kind of stuff, and apparently that is definitely the case.
Well, it reminds me of, you know, just on the subject of bait and natural forage, I was in a tournament here a couple years back, and some guys were asking us how we caught all our fish. Well, we used suckers and goldeye, and I said, well, what did you guys have? He goes, I drove all the way to War Road to get frogs because catfish like frogs. He goes, why didn't you use frogs? I said, well, when you were walking through the grass down to your boat, did you see any frogs jumping in front of your feet? Well, no. I said, well, why would the catfish be catching frogs if there's none in the grass at this time of year? Huh. Never thought of that. Again, natural forage base.
Right. But again, you know, there's a time, though, when those frogs are there, when you're walking along through the grass or along the banks of the river and there's frogs everywhere. It's an amazing thing to see because all of a sudden those fish will just shift gears and they're going to hit nothing but frogs. And if you don't have frogs, you're out of luck. But, you know, in this case, the guy obviously hadn't done his homework.
Well, that's true. Late August, September, you're going to see the frogs along the riverbanks. This was mid-July. It was just a touch early.
Yep.
Just a few weeks more and he'd have hit it right on the head.
A lot of driving for nothing, but hopefully he saved those frogs because they work pretty well frozen, too.
So, since we're on the subject of catfish, we'll change gears. And I understand the boys at Cats on the Red are having a little success this week.
I'm hearing things are looking up, and it's good to hear because it's, you know, it's been a bit of a challenge up there at times this year. Not that they're not catching fish, because they are, and they're catching some big fish. Seems like the quality has really, really made up for things. But saw a report from Canuck. He had a couple of fairly inexperienced fishermen out yesterday for a few hours, and they ended up boating 10 nice cats, and he figured they had probably 15 other fish on that got off. So I think that's a really, really a promising sign, and you know, things are coming out of the spawn. Summer's kicking into high gear. I think there's some good stuff to look forward to up ahead there, and I don't know about you, but I'm counting the days myself.
Well, they said the main bite is shifting to an August pattern, so when they say August pattern, amazingly, I know what that means now.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, that's going to be right in that time frame. We're up there. It's going to be late July, but there's not going to be that much difference. And we can pretend it's August. We'll adapt.
So I know there's some open rooms up there still, so you better get on the phone or get on the website, catsontheredd.net. Hey, go to the catfish photos because I got a good one in there from last week. So check that one out. Book your rooms. Phone number, please.
Area code 204-757-9876. And I have to tell you, when it comes to taking pictures up in Lockport there, I've gotten a little lax about taking pictures because they all start to look the same after a while. It's like, oh, God, here's another big fish. Here's a 20-pounder. Here's a 22-pounder. Here's a 25-pounder. And, you know, I change shirts every once in a while. It's about the only way you can tell that it's not the same fish or, you know, the same day.
Well, the only reason I took a picture is because I reeled like a 21 in. And Rob Horkin, who's been on the show, was up there with me, and he got a 26, and we had a double. So, of course, we had to take the double picture, and it was his first trip to Lockport. So it was one of those photos that just had to be taken.
Don't you just love those doubles? I mean, you talk about that. I think of that fall trip we made up there in September of 2004 when brought a friend of mine up there who's a walleye fisherman, a little bit new to the catfish game, and he struggled the first part of the day, but... you know, things took a serious turn for the better that last couple hours, and we had just an amazing stretch out there. You guys had a double, and we would have had a triple, except I was standing there with the net in my hand and made a wild lunge for my rod, and in the meantime, the fish got off. But we were really close to having a triple at that point. But those doubles are, they're just always memorable.
Always, always in good fun. Wind has been kind of the thing this year, so I got to remind everybody about the old Wavebuster bobber, because, man, have they come in handy this year. You can buy those at todaystackle.com or your local tackle store. And last but not least, we're brought to you by eTackleDirect.com, and I'm sure Catfish Billy would love to take care of a working man looking for some tackle, because that's exactly what he is. So that seems to be all the bases covered. Any big plans coming up?
Any big plans coming up? No, I guess the big thing coming up for me is, I will be out on Lake of the Woods early next week. I have a trip planned on a charter boat out there on Tuesday, so I'm kind of hoping the wind stays down on that day, because you get out to the fish zone out there right now, and you're going to catch some fish. You will do well, but you know, it's getting to be that time of year where you got to watch the weather if you have a small boat and hope conditions are right. We're not going to have to worry about that, because we'll be on a 26-foot sport craft, something that's going to handle the water. But beyond that, you know, the big one is just the waiting game now for our trip to Manitoba, and it's 1 month from today. Not that anyone's counting the days.
I'm counting. Sorry. You're not the only one.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. I mean, that's always gotten to be just a really special trip, you know, because we have such good friends up there. They treat us so well, and it's just, you know, it's as much of a social occasion as it is a fishing trip, and, you know, you just can't go wrong.
Well, and even in talking to them last week, I think they're counting the days, too.
Well, that's good. You know, that tells you that we've made good showings of ourselves, I guess. And that's, you know,
Canuck's counting the days because he wants to night fish. And from what I hear, we're the only ones that'll go with him.
Well, I just hope he doesn't do any more singing. I still cringe when I hear those joyous strains.
Screeching kitties.
Screeching through the night. It's a little bit like running your hands down a chalkboard. It was, it was jolting and... You know, he's a great guy, but, you know, leave the singing to someone else.
I'll just hope I don't start singing.
I'll hope that, too. You know, a duet might be kind of a scary deal.
Well, I think that's going to do it for us this week. I hope you learned something about fishing new water and talking to locals, because I really did learn a lesson on that.
Oh, I think it's a really striking case of, you know, pay attention to what's happening locally, because, you know, there's a reason those fish weren't hitting that shad, and, you know, not to belittle the guys, but, you know, they weren't willing to shift gears, and they paid the price for it. So, you know, think about that wherever you're fishing. You know, like Brad said, pay attention to the locals, you know, some of the conventional wisdom, and, you know, the stuff seems to work. It works for a reason. Don't be afraid to shift gears.
Well, that's going to do it for us, folks.
So until next time. This wraps up this edition of Why Fish Radio. Keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.